Good morning. I was so excited when that thing reset and Chad couldn't put that back up here. Okay, happy Mother's Day. Oh, moms, yes. Moms and mothering hearts and mentors, future moms, even the moms that aren't here with us today, we want to take just some time today to honor the work, the effort, the care, the love that you all have within you. It is an absolute gift for our world and an absolute gift that is from God. In the past, we've talked about these attributes that God has, and a mothering heart is very much who God is, and that is absolutely from Him. And so you are operating in who God made you to be. And I was thinking about mothers, and I was thinking about, like, you know, like some of my kind of influences of mothers growing up. And now, for all of you who are maybe millennials, this might be a little difficult because I'm going to kind of go back to the past. And for some of you, you may be like, I never thought of that. I haven't thought of that in a long time. And so I was looking at, like, man, some of these moms that you just, when I watched them on TV, they were some of the most influential. Like, I just was like, sometimes I'd watch a mom, and I love my mom. She's listening now, and I want to let you know, Mom, this has nothing to do with you, and more about just how great those TV moms were. You know what I mean? And you'd watch a TV mom, and you'd be like, man, that's a great mom. You know? Do you know what I'm talking about? And you tell your mom, can't you be more like, you know, June Cleaver, which is an unfortunate last name, but, like, you know, don't you think you'd be more like her? And I was looking at, like, Ranker does this, like, top, like, mom. People voted on what were the top TV personality moms. And I'm going to go ahead and just throw up the first top, the top three. And so, there it is. Okay, so I was shocked that Kitty was the number one mom. And Morticia Adams, which, you know, everybody thought, wow, I'd like to have a Morticia Adams in my... And Carol Brady. Now, I like Kitty. I thought she was great, and I like Morticia. And what I was talking to Anna about this, and I was like, aren't those interesting choices that people picked? And she's like, well, but if you look at them both, they're very accepting, right? Both those mom characters. They're very accepting. They're very, like, you know, like, all about their family. And so, but I wasn't a big fan of Carol Brady. I'm sorry if this offends you. I like their dad better. I feel like he was nice, and she was not that nice. And so I felt like she didn't belong on that list, and I was really offended that my favorite TV mom wasn't on the list. But she did come in at number four, and that is Claire Huxtable. Ah, man, she's the best. Every time I'm like, how do you put up with that guy? And she was so great, so loving. I loved her on that show. She was awesome. Now, okay, that's the top three, whatever. Then there was, like, this list of 100, and it kind of brought me through memory lane as I was going through and watched all these shows from all these different generations. And then I thought, like, okay, then there was these moms that were, like, the moms that kind of had these, like, incredible attributes, right? And it's kind of funny because in most of them, their husbands were very strange. Do you know what I'm talking about? And it even highlighted the mom's character even more, which might be your case too. You know what I mean? Like, it was just like, these are great moms. And then they started, like, doing some shows where they had more of, like, the realistic mom, and then they decided to go kind of the other way. But look how they were ranked. Put these next ones up here. There's Peggy Bundy, right? And Roseanne. But my favorite is Lois from Malcolm in the Middle. She was just something special. And these are, like, the more of the maybe relatable moms, the flawed moms, the moms that have, like, you know, everything's not all together. And then you also would watch those shows and be like, wow, my mom is great. You know what I mean? They were really good for you in that way. And then, even kind of weirdly, these showed up. If you put these next ones up, these showed up on there. And these are the cartoon moms, and there's more. But Marge Simpson, number six. Wow, that surprised me. And then Wilma Flintstone, of which I was a big fan of Wilma. I loved her. I thought she was great. But then I thought, you know, these, I'm going through these, and I'm sure none of the millennials are like, I didn't watch these shows growing up. I just saw these on reruns. And then nowadays, I just, you know, I can't even watch those episodes. They're too slow, right, millennials? You know what I'm talking about? Too slow, too boring, get to the point. And so I thought, like, okay, I'm sure there's got to be a millennial show on here of a great mother. And I found it. It's this one right here. And it's, Daenerys Targaryen. She was ranked number 51 as the mother of dragons. And so she loves those dragons like you can't believe. She is a good mother. I was thinking about the shows. And I was thinking about moms, and you know, obviously we can, you know, reason and go, wow, those are just TV shows, I got it. But the reality is, I think it's true, is that they're for moms. There is no script for you, right? There's nothing, no script that's a perfect line for you that really highlights your character, and everyone can kind of like go, wow, look at how great that mom is. They're so reasonable. They never overreact. They seem very calm when they talk to little Johnny. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, there's no script. You know, these are like for real life moment moms. It's just not there. There's no retakes. You don't get to redo a scene. There's no like breaks in between takes, right? You don't get any of that. There's no camera rolling, and there surely is no award for your greatest performance that you'll be recognized in front of a bunch of people, right? Being a mom, it is one of those opportunities that we have that sometimes doesn't have all of those things. Sometimes we can go a while without that type of recognition. But I got to tell you this, for all of our moms, our future moms, and our mentors in here, that you really are playing the greatest role of your life. Right? This is fake, and you're in reality, and you're playing the greatest roles. But the difference is that you didn't pick your cast. Right? And sometimes you're like, I wish I could have chosen differently. You know what I'm talking about in those moments? But you didn't pick them, but they did pick you. And the moment that you saw them and they saw you, they chose you, right? You had your cast. And ultimately, I would say that God chose you to play that role and to be in that role. I think God has given you and gifted you with the capacity that I think as a man, I believe I have the capability of that. I can learn from mothers and women, but like that capacity to like care for. That unlimited, it seems like, capacity to be mindful of your cast. You know what I mean? Caring for them, taking care of them, you're unselfish, and that love, it's just, I think, beyond what words can describe. And I think sometimes that we can feel I just put myself as a mother. Wow, I'm with you guys. Happy Mother's Day to me. And so I just feel like sometimes that for you, I have noticed that it can go definitely overlooked and sometimes undervalued. But I want to tell you today, in this church, every person here wants to celebrate you. And I think this is true. I just feel like that today I want to remind you that, yes, we know you're not perfect. And yes, we know you don't always know what to say. And yes, we know you don't always know what to do, right? But who God has placed in your life, the impact that you're making on them is more significant than you can imagine, even though you don't have the words all the time, you don't have the things to say all the time. And yes, you are not perfect. But God has placed someone in your life to show them reality in life, and that gift God has placed inside of you has impacted them more than you will ever know. I love what Lisa Leslie said. Lisa Leslie is a famous basketball player. She is known for her coaching. She's known for her like care and giving to so many people in her community in basketball and to females. And this is what she said. And by the way, and she's known also for being 6'5". That's helpful for basketball, right? She said this: my mother was my role model before I even knew what that word was. And that's a true statement. It's a powerful statement. The moment, and if this was your case, the moment that you and that child locked eyes is the moment it felt loved. And it has not stopped. And we have to applaud moms today, mothering hearts, and future mothers for your work, for your effort, for being that
really ultimately God. What they see in you is what they ultimately are going to see in God. And so thank you, moms, for what you do. You go tirelessly. You go underappreciated and sometimes under acknowledged. And we want to acknowledge you today and say thank you so much. So moms, we love you. Thank you. Let's pray and we'll get started. God, we want to thank you so much for our moms, our mothering hearts, our future moms. God, we want to thank you for who they are and the gift that they are to our lives. And God, help us today to be grateful and express our gratitude with just a simple thank you to our mothers today, God. And I hope that every mom here, every person who's mentored someone and played that mother role, God, I ask that they ultimately realize their greatest purpose is what they're already doing. We love you. God, we thank you. Help us today explore the topic we're going to do today and help us walk out with a greater understanding of really just life and life in its fullest. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in this series called Testimony, and coming out of Easter, we wanted to really take some time and talk about our testimony. And I've said this in the previous messages, is that I think a lot of times people feel like they have to have this like high peak, low valley moment to have a testimony to share. I've had a lot of people say, well, I don't really have a testimony. Like I say that I don't get offended when people say it, but like I didn't like screw my life up like you did, Ryan. And so it's like, hey, whoa, okay, cool. Let's back that down. And like when you think about like testimony, I think people feel like the greater the difficulty, then the greater the testimony. But I want to always remind us, probably every single weekend, is that life, like death coming to life, resurrection that happened inside of you is the greatest testimony that you can share. There's nothing bigger than that. There's no drug addiction that was overcome greater than a life that was lost and now is found. And that's worth talking about. And so we're taking these pieces of our lives of we want to allow you or give you permission to explore those areas as your testimony. I think sometimes when we think of testimony, it can be so single-focused, but there's so many nuances to a testimony. There's so many areas, but maybe we're just not realizing are part of something that can glorify God on the other end of something. And so really, ultimately, this series is about God's story in you, and what does that look like? The entire series, we're going to be looking at defining experiences in your life that God will reshape and God uses ultimately for his glory and ultimately for his kingdom. We've talked about our origins, where we've come from, and how God uses that, builds on that, or reshapes it for his kingdom. We talked last week about failure and what does it mean when we experience failure. And that idea that's it can feel like it's a phrase, but it's more than that, that there is opportunity on the other end of an obstacle. And what does God do with that when we experience that? We're going to talk about calling, and we're going to talk about how we can find our testimony through that, and then ultimately through troubled times, through tragedy, through difficult times, when we can, on the other end, have a testimony to share about the goodness of God and who he is. To kind of introduce our topic today, I got to go right back to parenting. As a parent, we have four kids. And as a parent with four kids, and they were all pretty young at one point, I remember Anna and I would be like, we'd be so tired at times. You feel me? Tired. I always say parents are, I feel like, could join the Navy SEALs and probably dominate because we're sleep deprived, we don't eat, we're tired, we have people yelling at us all the time and barking orders. Like, it's just quite a show going on. And so, like, when you think about a parent, like, I felt like that. And we'd be frustrated. We'd be so frustrated. We'd be snapping at each other because we're just, like, so exhausted from just life and work and everything else and all in one and constantly caregiving. And then someone would come up to us and they'd be like, how are you doing? I'm like, oh, it's just so tough. And whew. And what we would get in response, which is a true statement, but it didn't feel like it was the right place, how we were feeling, they would say, oh, but kids are such a blessing. And I'd be like,
I don't know, because there's this thing in the Bible where they talk about blessing, and then he talks about curses. And so I feel like we're cursed, you know. And it's just this like thing where it's like, this doesn't land right now. Like, we're at a place. And ultimately, this statement is true, and it is a grounding statement in the middle of chaos and the middle of difficulty. But it is true. And sometimes in those moments where it's a whirlwind, rooting ourselves in that, maybe even that statement, even beyond parenting, just a blessing. What does a blessing look like, and how important are they to recognize in your life in those moments? And so we're going to take a look at that idea of wow. Because when I heard blessing from those parents, I was just like, ugh, barf, don't tell me that. And they're like, yeah, it goes by so fast. I was like, how fast? I want to know. Like, you know what I mean? The title of this message is Blessing and Beyond. And ultimately, our focus is going to be when blessing comes, when blessings come in your life, how do you recognize them? How do you keep them alive? How do you anchor to them? You know, we're going to just kind of spend a little bit of time going through that. And I feel like it's very fitting for Mother's Day as well. The biblical kind of explanation of blessing is kind of this. It's when blessing ultimately is actualized, when it manifests itself ultimately from divine agency, meaning that God, you can only go, God, you have something to do with this. What happens is it yields these benefits that are beyond our ability to kind of reason them in. We experience growth. We experience security. We experience health. This is all biblically. We experience peace, and ultimately we experience happiness. And so when a blessing is actualized and then realized, these byproducts, benefits come from recognizing a blessing. And so when I think about blessing in today's Christian culture, it can be, honestly, a bit of a cliche. So we've joked about in the past of like, well, I'm just so blessed. And it's like, are you just bragging? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I'm blessed to have this, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, I don't know. That sounds like bragging. Or hashtag blast, you know what I mean? Like, we look at those things and we go, wait, blessing can kind of almost feel like it's just one of those things, like, I'm having a good day, I'm blessed. But then I want to kind of take that little cliche and dig into a little deeper. What I mean by Christian cliche, and I don't mean this bad about Christianity, I just mean that they exist, and we can kind of take something that wasn't meant to be a cliche, that we just kind of glaze over, and it was meant to have a deep meaning to it. Christian cliches we should examine, right? I mean, just to give you an idea, is God helps those who help themselves. And ultimately, I mean, let's just boil it that right down. If that was the case, then we're all in trouble, because God helped us when we were helpless. Ultimately, we do need to meet God, but ultimately, he met us in our place. You do not earn your salvation. Or I'll pray about it when someone asks you maybe if you can help them. You're like, I'll pray about it, which ultimately means, like, it depends on how I feel that day, but it sounds good to say I'll pray about it. And then you'll be like, I can't question God on this. God told him no to help me? Oh, wow, okay. Or cleanliness is next to godliness. Now, I don't know if you know this, but this is not in the Bible, right? It is in the OCD version of the Bible, right? It's there. But it's not in the Bible. I had a neighbor once who was not a believer, but he was telling me how I needed to, like, get my house a little bit cleaner because his house was, like, next to mine, and do my lawn and everything. He was real dialed like that. And he came over and he said, hey, I want to talk to you for a second. He was talking about my yard, and he's kind of pointing out things I should do. And they said, you know better than anyone else that verse, cleanliness is next to godliness. And I'm like, yes, I know this verse. I have another verse I'd like to share with you from the anger version of the Bible, right? Like, there's this thing of, like, cliches that don't actually have really any meaning, or maybe even some rooting, but blessing does. And so I want to just do two things today, ultimately. I want to reclaim these very cliche phrases about blessing. I want to try to reclaim those today for us. And the first one is this, and it's we hear it all the time, and sometimes it just kind of goes in one ear and out the other. But I think there's a real truth to it, and it's this: count your blessings. Count your blessings. Now, unfortunately, that phrase has been given to us in times that it shouldn't have been given. Sometimes we didn't need the cute cliche. We needed some comfort. And we needed, we didn't need perspective quite yet. We needed someone to come alongside of us and eventually help us see the blessing around us. But that idea of count your blessings, right, is something that is so important to do. Scripturally, it is a big deal throughout the Bible to count your blessings. I want you to do just a little exercise. I want you to take 1 second, and I want you to think about three blessings that are in your life. Just three. Just think about them. Acknowledge it for a second. It is a blessing. Just three of them. Now, I have 4 kids, so we have to pick our top 3 blessings, so I don't know how we're going to do that, Anna. But I think this is true when you're counting your blessings, that I think cultivating gratitude, it counters habituation, right? It's a numbing effect. Habituation, I'll explain it just very, most of you can kind of get the idea of what it is. If you don't know what it is, it's just this thing that's just, it's so rhythmic in your life that it kind of becomes like a dull noise. And let me give you an example maybe so you can kind of grab a hold of this. When you're binging on Netflix on a show you absolutely love and you are you're like 6 episodes in, have you ever noticed that you're just like, there were some really big things I would have been really excited about before, but because I'm just kind of plowing through everything, it's just like, yeah, it was all right. Do you know what I'm talking about? What about your paycheck? How many of you, when you get your paycheck and it's automatically deposited, you go, oh, thank God for this paycheck, right? Sometimes you may look at it and be like, God, where's the rest of this, right? I don't know where it went. Even think about church attendance, freely attending today. It becomes so rhythmic. It's just a ritual, almost like a habit. It's habitual that we forget to take a moment and celebrate what is actually happening here. Sometimes it can just become kind of background noise in our life, our health, right? And it's one of those things where, you know, as you get older, you start to say, wow, you don't realize it till it's gone, how valuable it was, and you didn't appreciate it as much. Your youth, right? When you look back and go, wow, like, what was I doing with my youth, right? I think about this. I threw my back out not long ago. Yeah, I'm old, and so things happened, and I threw my back out, and I didn't realize how valuable my lower back was until I threw my back out, and I started walking like this. This is not a good look, right? And I kept feeling, I felt as old as this looked, right? Like, and I felt like I saw the kids looking at me, and like my son, who's even bigger than me now, and he was just like, looking at me like a shark, right? And when there's blood in the water, and he was like, oh yeah, old man. And I was like, no, don't touch me, don't touch me, right? It wasn't a good thing. It was bad for my ego and all kinds of stuff. But it's a thing of like, I would think about my back when it was hurting, and I'd be like, man, I remember the days when I could just get up off the couch. maybe moms, we feel this way. You, not me. We feel like the day-to-day with the kids, right? It kind of just becomes background noise, and some special things may be happening, or they happen every day. It just becomes kind of, we become numb to it, right? That habituation, it happens in our life, and I tell you what, it will rob you of the experience of life when we get into those types of thinking. I think sometimes we can miss the forest, right, ultimately for the trees in those moments. We lose the bigger picture sometimes even in the moment. And so kind of how I want to go from that idea of like that, it kind of flat lines, everything's kind of the same, although there's blessing happening all over, and it just becomes planed out, like that Netflix series. But ultimately, like, there is this thing where when something does arise and it's negative, impacting you, we kind of miss the entire forest, the big picture for the trees, right? And it's interesting because I did a little bit of study on this, and I think it's fascinating that, like, it just even in how your brain functions in your psychology, there is this thing about a negative experience can tend to be more dominant than a positive experience. And so it can spike really high because it might be unusual, right, in our case. And ultimately it can dominate a narrative And so when we experience something negative and we have this flatline base for gratitude and blessing, it can dominate a narrative in a time where we maybe haven't contextualized blessing in our life. And so, and then unfortunately, when we see the narrative, it can become the narrative, the negative experience, right? But those blessings, contextualizing them, they anchor us in the moments when this arises in our life. Counting blessings, I think, ultimately resurrects the moments. When you count your blessings, you're resurrecting those moments in your life that brought you joy originally, right? And through that, they begin to induce gratitude to the situation. And so those negative experiences with that flat line, just not recognizing them as they're happening, we just kind of thought, yeah, that happened then, and here I am now, and we miss it. But counting your blessings will anchor you in those times for sure. And I think this is true. The more anchors that you have, the greater resistance to the negative experience you will be able to resist as it blows your way. And so we see some people sometimes get swept up in the experience because it's so powerful. And without the anchoring of gratitude, they can find themselves even just hating what they have, hating who they're with, hating the children maybe that they have, hating the job that they have, getting swept up in an attitude and experience because maybe we've missed the opportunity to count blessings. Paul, and this is an interesting verse. I don't have time to give a whole context of this, but Paul writes something to help people remind this church that's in need. It's in Ephesians. If you read Ephesians, it's one of the most positive letters that Paul writes. It's all encouragement. It's all encouragement, and he is writing to a church that is experiencing persecution, distancing from relatives, being ostracized from the greater church that's coming from Jerusalem, and he is reminding them of something. And look what he does in his reminder in verse 2:12. He says, remember that you were at a time separated from Christ. Just remember that. Alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope. Do you remember that, he's saying? Without God in the world, do you remember that? And I love 13 because it's one of the biggest buts in the Bible. You know what I mean? It is an important moment because he wouldn't say 13, verse 13, unless he had to. He had to say verse 12. Remember that, and so he can highlight, contextualize the blessing. He says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace. Don't forget that you were once lost, but you're now found. Look back in memory lane and remember the moment when you're most discouraged. Remember the time when you feel the most out that Christ actually brought you in. Do you remember what it meant, felt like to be hopeless and purposeless? You remember what it felt like to be lost and now you're found? Don't forget that moment when it gets difficult is what he's trying to let them know. I went to a UCLA game with Ron. Ron, I don't know where you're at, but Ron took me to UCLA. Him and Donna love UCLA. Brought me to a UCLA basketball game. And ultimately, one of the great highlights of my life happened. I was in a back room, and I happened to be next to Rick Fox. Big deal for me. I love Rick Fox. Handsome man. I mean, I was like, Rick, L.A., he's an L.A. Laker. And I was like, wow. And I tried to get near him, touch his shoulder a little bit, you know what I mean? Give him a little booty bump, like, hey, Rick, buddy. And Ron took me through the hallway of there, and it was funny because I was watching Ron, and he felt like a proud dad. He was like, look at the trophies. Look at the championships, the history. And I was watching Ron just kind of show me all these things. I'm on these pillars, and he was going through everything. And I was like, wow, Ron, I know, I don't think you know. Your team's no good. But the memories. And he's like, because what it did was like gave Ron a hope that one day they're going to be good because they have a legacy of trophies and of wins. Now, when I look at that, I think, man, that's how blessing works in our life. In a time of drought, We go back to the time when there was plenty in our life, and we remember those times to ground us. Ron's optimism grew, and I think it can happen that way in blessing. And another thing, too, another thought maybe just to kind of remember is there's a lot of R's in this statement, forgive me, but I just loved all the R's. Remembering reinvigorates our rejoice. It brings us back there, resulting in robust living. Now, that's a lot of R's. But remembering ultimately, right, it does. It reinvigorates our praise. It brings us back to the fact that things are good. They're not bad. Things are better than you think. And it reinvigorates that rejoice, and it results in a robust living. And if you think, well, that's just positive thinking, that's the Bible, and so, but you know what, like, if you want to go maybe just even just in a science level or a human level, there's been so much work done in this area of just even in that way, your life will begin to increase, your health and wellness will increase. I have it up on the screen, but even just a number of psychologists have done studies on this in children and adults, and they found this when it comes to gratitude. Gratitude increases social connection, which leads to health and wellness. Gratitude increases altruism, which is a strong predictor of happiness, right? Gratitude decreases depression and improves optimism and positive emotion, which in turn increases well-being, boosts creativity, benefits relationships, and it impacts the longevity of your life. Gratitude improves health and well-being for people suffering from physical ailments. Gratitude is a powerful thing. Counting your blessings should not be a cliche. Counting your blessings should be a practice, a spiritual practice in our life. And so, you know what, maybe just try this, you know what I mean, when you're thinking, like, how do I count my blessings? Well, pretty simple. Well, you could write the moments down. You can go back and revisit the moments and write down what you were experiencing and what came out of that moment, and the gratitude in that moment will grow from your home life, your work life, people, things, achievements, environments that you are grateful for. Another way that you can induce gratitude, because it has all these benefits for your life, is that you can actually tell people that you're grateful for, that you're grateful for them. We don't do that often. Now, on Mother's Day, we get to do this with our mothers. But days go by, weeks go by, and months go by where we don't take the extra step and we articulate what we mean behind the surface statement, thanks for all you do. But there's so much more that we're experiencing underneath the surface of the statement, and begin to tell people why. It has a mutual benefit because it raises someone else up, and it also imparts in your life like the sense of well-being and peace and calm, all those biblical byproducts of being grateful. Blessing someone else actually blesses you, right, in your life. And so, right, I think it's a big deal to let someone know that, hey, although all these things you may not think that you're great at because of, I want to let you know this. I was reading this list of all these mothers. It was a list of moms could contribute to, and it was, you know, you're a mom if kind of list, you know what I mean? And I was reading them, and some of them were funny, and when I think about our moms, these are all things that just kind of go over, they're overlooked, but they need the time to recognize that, I know you may experience these things, but I got to let you know what I feel about you in these. And so maybe even when you're thinking about your mother today, I love this list. They're somewhat comical. The you know you're a mother if, the first one is if your feet stick on the kitchen floor and you just don't care anymore. Actually, it's a benefit because you won't slip. It's traction. Your favorite TV show has become a cartoon. That's when you know you're a mother. You know you're a mother when, right, the baby's pacifier falls on the ground and you lick the dirt off because you don't have time to clean it and put it in the baby's mouth. You know you're a mom when you automatically double tie every shoe, even your own. You know you're a mom when you hear a baby cry in the grocery store and you start to gently sway back and forth, even when your kids are in school. Oh, you know you're a mom when you're looking for your sunglasses frantically and your kids are like, Mom, like they're on your head up there, right? You know you're a mom when you no longer go to the bathroom with the door closed because you need to be accessible, right? Or you find yourself counting down the days of summer breaks end. You know you're a mom when that is happening. Or when you can nap through anything, anytime, anywhere, any place. Once again, a Navy SEAL, right? And, oh, I wrote this one down. You know you're a mom when you begin to parent your husband as one of the children. Without even thinking about it. You do that, and you get over there. It's like, oh, I, what? Okay, yeah, I don't want to be disciplined. And I think this is true. You know your mom when you realize that the list above, right, it's a small trade-off for the opportunity that you have placed in front of you every single day that fills your heart to the brim, although it's difficult, right? And when I think about that, I think about, right, when we count our blessings, it can be overwhelmed by these other things. But when we want to identify it in someone else, we want to say, listen, I know you do all of this stuff, and I need to tell you what that means to me. Try that. Expressing your gratitude, it will lift you. The second thing is this, and is ultimately this cliche I want to try to reclaim here, is blessed, right, to be a blessing. I'm just blessed to be a blessing. And really, ultimately, what does that mean? Because I think it can become a Christian cliche, and maybe has. I think there's even like songs about it. I'm blessed to be a blessing to the end. You know what I'm talking about? It's an old school song. And this idea that if I am blessed, I should bless others, but the cliche kind of just takes that and just kind of we glaze over it. But the profound biblical call, divine call, is that when you are blessed, you are to be a blessing. And so it's not about storing up for ourselves, but it's about taking the overflow of the recognized blessings in our life and passing it or paying it forward. I think this is that recounting the abundance of blessing definitely leads to generous living. When you recount and you go back and you acknowledge the blessings in your life, you find a level of satisfaction. When someone is not satisfied, all they can think about is what they don't have. But when you go back and you recount and your gratitude grows, you have a sudden amount of resources to then pass on to other people who may need your resources. Let me read this verse. First of all, let me point out that this verse right here is a verse of gratitude and overflow. This verse has a context, which is, I'll read it first, and then maybe I'll explain it. 1 John 4:19, and it says this, we love because he first loved us. And it's almost like feels like a response type of verse, but there's so many other things, especially when you look at the biblical links with that passage about the expectation and the understanding that what was given to us as a free gift should be given outward. That's the call of a believer. And so we love because he loved us first. And there is this thing of which we experience, and now we go and we give that away as well. Again, a blessed to be blessing verse, 2 Corinthians 2:11 to the first century church. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way. God has enriched you in so many different ways to be generous to other people to experience the very nature of God through your overflow of blessing. But it has to be acknowledged, or you'll never see it as abundance. You'll see it as lack. And so you'll always be wanting more when you have more than enough. You know, how much have you been enriched in every way, if you think about it? Think about that for a second. How much have I been enriched in every way? And if that's a ridiculous statement to you, I don't think you're thinking about her enough. How have you been enriched in every way in your life? And I think that this is difficult If it's a difficult process to think like this and go, okay, I'm blessed to be a blessing. I got to recount my abundance of blessings to be generous. Okay, so if that's hard right now, let's reverse the process. So don't count your blessings. But let's start with generosity and let's work our way backwards, because that could happen too. So if that's difficult for you, let's go this way. And that is starting with generosity to induce the recognition of blessing, and ultimately will bring you satisfaction in your life. And it's interesting because I was reading this. One of the professors at Stanford, the psychologist professors, did this study with her class. And it was this generosity first will then bring about empathy and care and love and satisfaction in your own life. And so she took her students, and for 6 weeks, she just said, for just 5 times a week, I would like you to do something for somebody there's no reason. You want nothing back. You just want to do a random act of kindness. Buy a Big Mac for somebody. Go help somebody. Do something in some way. And it's kind of interesting that she found that everybody who participated in the experiment came back with a sense of wellness of life, a sense of purpose, and a sense of gratitude for what they have. And so you just reverse the process if you want. You can do the end process to get to the other way as well, if that's been difficult for you, but you find contentment, and you ultimately, all these students who were tested found appreciation for what they do have, and they realize they have more than they thought. I mean, you may be like, I'm just too angry to do that. I don't want to help anybody. I'm angry. I've been hurt. I've been discouraged. I'm the one who's in need, and that may be you, and that's a sad, sad place. It's a sad situation, and I'm sure the situation might be sad. It might be difficult. I want to give you an encouraging story. I was reading the story of this rabbi out of New Jersey, and something happened to his wife. She was in Israel in 2001, and she was killed in a cafe suicide bomber, and it was crushing to him. And he decided to respond after his grieving process to carry out small, random acts of kindness throughout the day. Even in the midst of losing everything, and he had every right to be angry, every right to express disappointment, every right to do that, and every right to say, I'm the one who's in need. What helped bring life back to him was beginning to then go out and make change in the world that felt like it was completely out of control. And he felt like he had a sense of control in some way. Here's what he said. He said, every day I carried out these kindness acts, and gradually, right, I felt my anger and apathy dissolve, replaced by a strong sense of purpose. Being kind helps you feel in control, he said, in an uncontrollable world. And he also went on to say this, by doing a good deed, you're saying, here is something that I can change in the world when I didn't have control of the other situation. I love the mentality that even at a guy who is at his worst place decided to make a change even when he was the one in need and found life and purpose through that. There are many different ways that you can grow in gratitude. It doesn't matter which route you take, but ultimately, God called us in the blessings of life, in the abundance of life, in the overflow that we have when they're recognized, to then let them overflow to other people. And that is an incredible testimony for the person waiting on the other end of that experience. John Calvin, and I'll close with this quote. John Calvin said this. He said, all the blessings we enjoy are divine deposits committed to our trust on this condition, that you should be that they should be dispensed for the benefit of our neighbors. There's something powerful about that. It's a mutual benefit that happens, but it's something about how blessing works. God gives us the free gift. And God then says, go and turn and do the same thing. And you will experience a fullness of life you didn't realize you had, and you will be grounded in the present The past will no longer dominate and the future will no longer be hopeless because you have the present blessings acknowledged and you revigorate them. You remind yourself and you anchor yourself when the storms and the negative energy and the difficulty comes and you want to just throw your hands up and say, I've had enough. I think this is true. Blessing brings light when darkness pushes in. When you acknowledge blessing, it brings light when darkness pushes in. Blessing grounds us. And blessing is all around us. And it's just a matter of learning to look for the right things. When I was watching the egg hunt out here for the extravaganza, I was watching kids, and they were just looking around, and they were just like, there's some kids who were like, I don't like that egg, and I don't know. And then I watched them walk away, and I was so sad inside because some of them only had like one egg in their basket. And I was like, oh, you were too picky, you know what I mean? Like, it had to like speak to them and call them, be blatant. And then I watched kids with their baskets overflowing with eggs, and they didn't even care. They were like, blessing, 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 blessing. And I think God's called us to do that. That there's so much that's overflowing that we could share with others. And the kids who had so much actually ended up sharing with those who had very little. If kids can do that, we surely can do that. I think blessing, when it's acknowledged, it opens your eyes to the wonder of human living that God intended for you to participate in. And so there's moments when we lose the plot, and God is calling us to remember these moments and watch the wellspring of life that you have inside of you. And this last thought is this, is you testify of God's goodness, right? When you share about your blessings, you testify to his goodness when you have recognized blessings that you share with other people, and ultimately then you share with them as well. That becomes a part of your testimony that is more impactful than you will realize. It opens more doorways than you will ever realize, because so many people are just wishing they were blessed. And you get to experience it and show it and model it so they then too can do the same thing and see God in a whole new way. Could you guys bow your heads? My prayer today is for eyes to be opened in this area. I don't know your story. We all have our own story. And I would never try to minimize that in you. I would just like to invite you into maybe a process that might begin to change the way you view things, might begin to change the way you experience life in a whole new way. You were not an accident when you were born. You don't just live this life and die. There's a reason why God gave us this moment in time, and it's your moment. And God is going, there's more to life than maybe that dark place you've been in. There's more light than you realize. There's more sight. There's more things to be enjoyed. There's more ways than to just life, than accumulation for yourself. But there's so much more life when you give and you're generous. Someone is waiting on the other side of that testimony in a dark place. I want to pray definitely for this, to encourage hearts, that mindsets change today, that gratitude can grow, that moments can be reclaimed that maybe have been on the shelf too long, need to be dusted off, and that ultimately your life will be changed. Those are going to be my prayers today as we leave and sing this last song. I want to read this verse. It's an ancient prayer, and it's a prayer that will never cease in your life. As powerful it was for them back in the day when it was penned in the book of Numbers, it's a prayer for you today about God and you. And you can maybe just start there. And this is the prayer. The Lord blesses you and he keeps you. The Lord makes his face shine upon you and to be gracious to you. The Lord lifts up his countenance upon you and gives you peace. And ultimately, it's, I'm for you. I am not against you. Lift yourself up. There's more to life than the negative experience storm. There is blessing all around you in every moment. God, we thank you so much for today. God, I thank you for being able to celebrate our mothers, being able to celebrate the mentors in our life and appreciate them. God, help us as a church continue to walk in gratitude that stems from the blessings that are all around us. And God, help us be like those kids who pick them up and fill our baskets. And as it overflows, God, we overflow into other people's lives. That God, that these things are in our lives so that we can distribute this to our neighbor in need. God, we love you. We thank you that we can then do that, doing that, reflect the very character of who we serve and be ambassadors for your kingdom, for someone who is looking for life. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me and sing this last song?